A reading from Matthew 7:28-29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught us as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of law.
Well, you've written a book called The Authority Encounter, so I think you must be an authority on what is actually being said here. But I think it's a very important idea, and it certainly, when I read your book, it really struck me as it was empowering, actually, to understand that Jesus came into this world to reestablish his authority in us.
It's authority that we gave up at creation. When we chose to follow the way of Satan rather than the way of God, we gave up what had been delegated to us by God to have authority on this earth and to have dominion in a positive way, being stewards of the earth. And Jesus comes back, and he, right from the beginning of his ministry, shows a reestablished authority. And part of it is because he's not born with sin. He's living with a different structure. But every aspect of the Christ event, his birth, his life, his death, the resurrection, the ascension, all of these point to an increasing flow of authority and an opportunity given back to us as human beings to operate in that authority, to restructure this world, to take back that which belongs to God. And so what someone has said is inviting God's kingdom to superimpose on the kingdoms of this world and to operate the way they were originally designed.
That's beautifully said. How does one... A lot of people are afraid of authority.
Well, we, in this context, in America, have an anti-authoritarian base. And part of it is our subculture mentality is egalitarianism. We value egalitarianism far more than hierarchy. And authority flows best through hierarchical structures. Now, authority was abused by many institutions, including government, religion, education. And so in the 50s and 60s, an anti-authoritarian movement came up, even in popular culture. So you have this subculture of egalitarianism, and then you have this popular movement against it. So everybody is suspect. But when you understand Jesus, Jesus talks about authority as being out of a servant leadership base. True authority doesn't use authority for self. True authority uses authority to protect those who are weaker and have less opportunity than the one operating in authority.
And what I find very compelling in the way you put it in your book was you spoke about the entire biblical narrative leading from the giving up of the authority to Satan and to the world, and how it moves across the centuries towards Jesus, and then at a moment in time, a restoration happens, where authority, the blessing, the grace, that God, the love of God, so much for us. He wanted to reestablish the original purpose for us. And so much of our life after we discover this is putting whatever God's intention, the way I like to put it, God knew exactly who I was before I was born. And then, of course, I fall into the world and spend my whole life trying to, you know, make my own idea of that, and that I'm rejecting the authority that God has gifted me. But once I'm given that, it's so empowering if you don't abuse it, if you cherish it, and you do everything with authority in love.
And that's what's amazing about our context here. It says that even Jesus' teaching was with authority. We get it that the miracles are with authority. When he stands against the waves and he casts a demon out and he releases healing. But here, even the simplicity of the way he teaches doesn't come with the overlay of powerful education and all those things. But people say, there's something about his message that's different. And that can be the very expression of our life. Even serving people, doing menial things, when we do it in our authority, it comes with a greater impact than with great power.